thought he was saying to the
Lord God. Well, on Thursday, we drove from here to Elizabethtown, Kentucky. And on Friday, Pastor Fiona preached Friday night. And Saturday afternoon, or two on Saturday, one. And then we preached in a church on Sunday called the Lion of Judah House of Worship in Bardstown, Kentucky. And we did Pastor Fiona preach in the morning, and then I got to preach in the evening. So it was good. Pastor Fiona did a great job, and I just enjoyed hearing her preach, and just wonderful. We preached in a Lutheran church on Saturday, Friday night and Saturday. There was a Lutheran church that hosted this meeting. There's a ministry that uses the Lutheran church's kitchen to feed the poor. And so we preached in the Lutheran church. People were falling out in the spirit. Things were happening, and the word went forth. And the Lutheran associate pastor was in the service Friday night. And, you know, she got touched by the Lord. It was two women pastors. One is a main pastor, and then her associate. And, you know, the pastor, she was just thrilled that her building could be used for such things. And she was excited about the Spirit. She said, the Spirit's really moving. So, praise the Lord. Something happened in the Lutheran church. Amen? But it's good to be back home amongst our own company. Glory to God. So we... Then we left Kentucky on Monday morning at about 5:30, got into Pennsylvania about 3 in the afternoon, and then stopped at the church for a moment. Then we went to Lancaster, where we had our RMAI, Rhema Ministerial Association International Retreat. So we were there Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday, and then came right from the church from there. So praise the Lord. We traveled about 1,400, 1,500 miles this weekend, and... We're expanding our territory, getting the gospel out. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 15. And I'm simply calling this Seen and Heard. Seen and Heard. Did you know that your faith is affected by what you see and what you hear? Hebrews 12, 2 or 3, it's either 2 or 3, it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. All right, we confess that. It's part of our confession, looking unto Jesus. And then Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm a firm believer that every age of a person should hear the word of God. You can't go wrong hearing the word of God. And sometimes you got to hear it more than once for it to get in you. We got so many things in our life that block the word. Our experience, our feelings, our emotions, what others, the opinions of others. You know, all those things. Did you know that your body and your spirit don't get along well? There is a law of sin and death. And it operates in the flesh. But then there is a higher law. It's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And Paul said, by the Spirit of God, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to what? Of the flesh reap corruption and death. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life. So what we see and what we hear affect how we believe. So I just want to talk to you tonight about seen and heard. And in Genesis 15, we'll go start with verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. So he heard something and he saw something, right? The word came to him in a vision. So he heard the word and he saw this in a vision. Saying, Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. How many want God to be your shield to protect you and your exceedingly great reward? You know what an exceedingly great reward is? It's something beyond what you could think or even ask. Think about it. God doesn't use adjectives lightly. God just said, God's not up there saying, I just need to fill in some space. I'm just going to put some extra words in there. You know? He told this to Abram. Abram heard it and saw it. Verse 2. But Abram said, you know, it's better when God butts in. It's bad when we butt in. But God. Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Abram had become nearsighted. He just saw in a vision, and he heard the words that I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Now, you could get excited about that word exceedingly. That means to go beyond the normal mark. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to go beyond the normal mark. But Abraham became nearsighted. He said, what are you going to give me seeing I go childless? He was looking more to his childlessness than he was to God. So what he was seeing now, and he heard himself speak. God, what are you going to give me, seeing I go childless? But aren't you glad that we have a God that doesn't leave us in that state? We have a God who's a very present help in trouble. He will give you vision. He'll give you revelation. Because without a vision, the people what? Perish. Without a revelation, without the word of God being real to you, you will perish. Not only do you have to see, you have to see the word on the inside of you. The Lord showed me this. To believe is to see on the inside of you that it's real. In other words, when Fiona was pregnant with Gabriel, she had to have an ultrasound. And that ultrasound, when it was put on her belly, showed a picture of a baby on the inside. Something was on the inside. And how did it get there? It got there from a seed being put in her. So when we get the Word of God alive on the inside of us, you ought to be able to see something in here. If you don't see it out here, you can see it in here. And once you see it in here, it's only a matter of time before it becomes a reality. But the point is, you never want to neglect what you see in here. You want to go by what you see in here. You want to be instrument rated. You know what that means? A pilot, when he's instrument rated, means he can fly in adverse kinds of weather because he can rely on the instruments to get him through the storm. You got to rely on your internal instruments. So all Abram could see was his childlessness. And he said, you've given me no heir or no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house. All he could see was Eliezer. All he could see was the natural. All he could see what was right before him, what he could put his hands on. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be your heir. Aren't you glad when God speaks a word to correct your stinking thinking? Lord, deliver us from stinking thinking. Because our mind gets in the way. We limit God through our mind. Because we become so natural oriented. I want you to go to preach to the nations. But God, I can't do that. Ask Moses to see how well God takes but God. I want you to go back to Egypt and deliver people. But God, I can't talk. I've made your mouth. But God, I'm not eloquent. I'll give you your brother Aaron. But God, shut up. You're making me mad. Go. Thank God the word came in to correct what he saw and heard. See, because his vision was now affecting his words. He began to speak what he saw, and it was affecting what he could believe for. Because his eyes were on the wrong thing. When your eyes are on your feelings more than the word, you're going to be led astray. And God said, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Okay, do we have any doubt what God was saying? He said, Eliezer is not going to be your heir. It's going to come from your own body. Okay. Then he brought him outside. I'm going to use Les as an example. Stand up, Les. He brought him outside. You know, it doesn't take much to change your vision. Maybe just God just wants to adjust you. He wants to fine-tune you. So he took him outside. He brought him outside of his environment so he could give him another picture. God wants to replace your picture of failure with one of victory. God wants to replace your picture of sickness with one of healing. God wants to replace your picture of one of lack with one of plenty. But the question is, will you allow God to change your picture? Some of us don't want him to touch our stuff. That's my picture. Don't move it. Don't put your hands on it. Okay? So he took him outside. And he said, look now toward heaven. I want you to look up. Okay? And count those lights to see, count those tiles to see if you can count them, to see how many they are. All right? So shall your descendants be. But he was talking to the stars. Notice, he took him out. He had him look up. He had him change what he was looking at. Change what he was looking to. Just that one little adjustment. Okay, you can sit down, Les. Thank you. That one little adjustment led to verse 6. And he believed in the Lord. You want to change your circumstance? Change what you're listening to. Change what you're looking at. Your circumstance isn't going to change until you change your perspective. You want to bring up your problems all the time? You want to be a negative person? Fine. Then you're going to have negative. You know, when a runner runs, they don't always... A runner cannot run and get the victory if he keeps looking behind him. He's got to have his eyes on the prize. Why do they put blinders on racehorses? So that the racehorse doesn't look at the other horses. You know, they put blinders on the horses so the horses can see just what's ahead of them, not to the right or to the left. Quit looking at your cans and start looking at your cans. That simple change of perspective caused him to believe in the Lord, and he accounted unto him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. He simply reminds him of what he already told them. See, there are times in our life when God will have to just shift our perspective. Because your body will be drawn to what you look at. Men, we are wired for sight. And the enemy knows that. And he uses things to take your sight and to put it on the wrong thing. And when he can get you looking at the wrong thing, he has access to your heart. And the enemy, he'll try to get your eyes off of something. Off the word, off the Lord. And verse 8, then he says, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? And then he enters into a covenant. But this affected Abram so much, in the next chapter, he's looking to meet that need of childlessness, and he accepts Sarah's offer of having his maid. You know, when Sarah made that offer, Abram didn't say anything to the contrary. He said, okay. He didn't really put up a fight, did he? He didn't really say, I'm sorry, Sarah, but that's not God's plan. He said, okay. Okay. If I got to, okay. You know what? We need to get a backbone. When the Lord's offering you an alternative from what he said, you need to be able to say no. Don't just accept anything that comes down the pike. So, Abram, he was focused on the childlessness. What are you going to give me seeing I go childless? I mean, God, the first thing God said to him, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Get from your home, your father's house, your country, and I'll make you a father of many nations. I mean, how many times did God say that he was going to make Abram a father before chapter 15? And now he's like, seeing I go childless. What happened, Abram? He was looking at what he was lacking, not his provider. That's why God had to say, I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. But thank God for the Lord's patience and his encouragement along the way. Come along now, got to focus on this. Oh, look at that, Lord. It's so pretty. No, get your eyes off here. Come on, focus. It takes discipline to focus. We get distracted so easy. But thank God, Abram got his vision right. And even though it cost him an Ishmael, it cost him an Ishmael before he got his vision right. Something that we're still dealing with. You know, Ishmael, go with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. So if you want to get your vision right, it just takes you a minor adjustment. Take your eyes off this, put it on the Lord. And if you need someone to put blinders on, call someone and say, hey, help me, I need some blinders. Oh, but we don't feel like we should be accountable. Well, that's the problem right there. We need to be accountable. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 9, talking about the wise men. This is powerful. When they heard the king, they departed. What did the king do? Sent them to find the Messiah. Okay? He sent them to go find the young child. So they had orders from the king, probably provision too. Whenever the king sends you on an assignment, he's not going to send you empty-handed. And he says, then bring back word to me that I may come and worship him. But you know what? This was a false thing because he really wanted to kill him. Herod didn't want to worship him. Are you kidding me? He didn't want competition. But thank God that God knows the enemy's plans. Now notice verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood where the young child was. Their heavenly vision gave them guidance, direction, and instruction. When they were focused on the star, they got to their destination. When they were looking to the light, they got to where they needed to be. See, they had to look to the light. They had to behold the star. Doesn't behold mean to look? It doesn't mean just to gaze, but it means to focus, to intently look upon, to keep it in your sights. And verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. What they looked at had a part to play in whether or not they were happy or sad. Maybe the reason you're sad all the time is because you're looking at the wrong thing. Change what you look at. Open the curtains. Let some light in. Okay, so they saw the star. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Now, you got to think about this. Exceedingly great joy. They just didn't go, yes, all right, amen, hallelujah. Exceedingly great joy. Woo, yeah, we arrived. All right, yeah, glory to God. It's only a pen. See, exceedingly great joy will mess you up. But I don't want to be messed up. Well, that's the problem. Sometimes we got to let the Lord mess us up. Amen? Okay. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child. Saw the star, saw the place where he was, and they saw the child. Their eyes never left Jesus. Their eyes never were taken off of the Lord. Okay? With Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. What they saw affected their worship. And it affected their giving. When they saw him, they worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, did you know that giving is part of worship? Absolutely. They were so caught up with the Lord that they worshiped and they opened up their treasures. Say zert. You know, that's got an S on the end. That's more than one. I'm sure that these guys were loaded. Okay? It was all because of what they saw and what they heard. They had instructions from the king to go, and they had the star that led them. So they had the king's instruction and the star. So they heard and saw, and it led them to where they needed to be. So what they heard and saw affected what they believed. And they opened their treasures, and they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You might think of it this way: money, incense, and anointing. Incense is like prayer. So they brought, in their worship, they brought money, they brought prayer, and they brought anointing or ointment. Myrrh is like ointment. And I thought it was funny because that word treasures is thesaurus. That's the Greek word thesaurus, thesaurus. It means a deposit, wealth, treasure. Okay? So they saw something. What they saw led them to where they needed to be. Looking unto Jesus. Looking. Yeah, I looked. No, looking. Keep looking. Don't let your eyes get off Jesus. Don't let yourself get out of love. Oh, did you know that your attitude will reveal what you're looking at? Yeah. A bad attitude means you're looking at bad things. A good attitude means you're looking at good things. You didn't know you were coming for an eye exam tonight, did you? We're not looking for 20/20 vision. We're looking for Jesus vision. I don't know. So, verse 12, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Do you realize that when you keep your eyes on the right thing, God will give you instruction and he'll protect you. He'll guide you. He watched over them. All right? Go with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. What you look at and what you listen to will affect what you believe. It'll affect the way you behave. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields. Did you know that you're blessed in the city and blessed in the fields? It doesn't matter where you are. God knows how to get in touch with you. They were living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. They were having a prayer meeting at night. keeping watch is like watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. When Jesus went to the garden to pray, he asked Peter, James, and John, said, why don't you come with me? And he said, I'm going to pray. He said, I want you to pray. Okay. Peter had some intense prayer time. Jesus comes back. He says, can't you guys stay awake for an hour? Tarry with me for an hour. So they were keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, what do you do when you behold something? You look. An angel of the Lord stood before them, and they saw the angel. Say, they saw the angel. And the glory of the Lord shone around about. So they saw the angel and they saw the glory. And they were greatly afraid. Yeah, if you've seen an angel and you see the glory, you'll be greatly afraid too. Oh, I saw the glory. Yeah, right. I don't know about you, but when Isaiah saw the glory, he said, boy, I'm a man of unclean lips. When you see the glory, you're going to be sober. It's an intense thing. And the angel said to them, what do you think they did when he said something? They heard something, right? Do not be afraid. Thank God that God, you got to deal with fear immediately. You can't let fear grip a hold of you. If you're facing a situation and you're starting to get afraid, you're feeling fear come up, you got to deal with it quickly. What did the angel say? Do not be afraid. Say that with me. Say, do not be afraid. You know, sometimes your spirit needs to hear you say that. Instead of, oh, I'm so afraid, what am I going to do? The angel's just saying, oh, you just put us out of a job. For behold, they're seeing something again. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. So the angel dispelled fear. What he was to say was good, joyful, and for everybody. Say good, joyful, and for everybody. Then he said, for there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, what do you think they were experiencing in that moment? They had a front row seat in God's presentation of a heavenly choir. They're seeing the angels. They see this angel give this message. Then the heavens open up and they see this choir of angels. And they're singing and rejoicing. They're seeing and they're hearing. They're seeing and they're hearing. Because what you see and what you hear affects what you believe. And glory to God in the highest, and to on earth goodwill toward man. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Seeing and hearing. And they came with haste and found Mary. They found Mary without a GPS, without cell phone, without a car. They found her. See, when you're hungry for something, you're going to find the truth if you're really hungry. Well, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do, Pastor. Where have you been looking? Maybe you need to find the truth. Change your perspective. You know, if you're focusing on failure, it doesn't take but a moment to change what you're looking at. Just change. Turn your head. Look at something else. So they found Mary. I think maybe the Holy Ghost had something to do with that too. And they came with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, I'm telling you, what you see and what you hear affects what you believe. You know, if you speak negative things over yourself, you begin to believe those negative things. And when you begin to believe negative things, you begin to become those negative things. Well, it works true, negative or positive. I mean, is it hard to shift from saying something negative to saying something positive? Is that a hard thing to do? It's just a minor shift. This is powerful. They saw and heard the message of Christ Jesus, and the shepherds had to be a part of it. They said, we got to do something with this. We got to do something about this. Not only did they hear it, but they did something. They were hearers and doers. Those who see and hear the Lord Jesus are those who are going to hear and do what he says. They said, we got to be a part of this thing. So they found Mary and Joseph. And when they saw Jesus, they made widely known the saying which was told them. They became evangelists. Just by looking at Jesus, they were so touched in their heart that they had to make this message known. You ought to tell your friends about Air Force that it is so good. It's so wonderful. It's so awesome that you just compel, you just say, you got to come, you got to come, you got. They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled. Man, these young people got it going on. I've never heard such a thing. They marveled, like, woo. At those things which were told them by the shepherds. I think they marveled more who was telling them than what they were being told. Shepherds, think about it. They just came in from the field. They didn't take a shower. They didn't use deodorant. They just came in from the field. But what they had just seen had impacted their life. What they had just heard impacted their life. It made them evangelists. What are you doing with what you saw and heard? It's time that you be put on the witness stand. Start telling your relatives. Start telling your neighbors. Start telling those whom you know. Otherwise, you're going to lose your vision. If you don't do anything with the vision, you're going to lose your vision. My goodness. So then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Whoo! What you hear and see will make a difference in your life. What they heard and saw made a difference in their life. They were glorifying and praising God. You know, the shepherds weren't saying, how are we going to tell the people? I've been talking to sheep, not people. I've been out in the field. They've been away from people. You know, do you think that they were good communicators? You think they took out an ad in the local newspaper saying, unto us a child was born? God took these shepherds who couldn't communicate well, and he used them to spread his message widely because of what they saw and what they heard. Oh, if you're going through a hard time, change what you're looking at. Change what you're listening to. It'll change the direction of your life. Change is good. Go with me to Luke 7. Luke 7. I'm just going to read this because this is self-explanatory. Verse 18. The disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things that were done by Jesus. Now, at this time, John was in prison because Herod wanted him dead because he would confront the political establishment of his day. He told Herod the king, he said, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. It's wrong. And he went to prison for it. So John had a prison ministry. And John, verse 19, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? The forerunner of Jesus, his cousin, while he was in prison, lost his vision. When Jesus came on the scene, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I'm not worthy to unloose his sandals." But now that he's in prison, he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, "Are you the one who are you the coming one, or do we look for another? John, are you crazy? You baptized him. You saw the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove. What happened, John?" He lost his vision. He was looking at his prison and not the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' And that very hour he cured many of infirmities. After afflictions and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go tell John the things you have seen and heard. That the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me.'" Jesus, are you the one? Are you the Savior? "Go tell John what you see and hear. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised. Glory to God. The gospel is not without signs and wonders and miracles. We serve a God who likes to demonstrate his power. He likes to show his strength, but he needs some people looking to him. He needs some people listening to him. He needs our perspective to get off of our little petty things, off this natural world, and put it on the eternal world. We need to change what we're looking at, change what we're talking about. And then our behavior will change, and we'll see the power of God manifest." That's powerful. "Go tell John what you see and hear." They went back and they said, "This guy is the Messiah. We saw him heal people. We saw him cast out devils. We saw him heal the sick. We saw him cleanse the leper. We saw him preach the gospel to the poor." What's the gospel? It's good news. If you're poor, what's good news? You don't have to be poor no more. You don't have to be poor no more. Say, "I don't have to be poor." Say, "I don't have to be poor no more." Well, I mean, what other good news to the poor person is there? The gospel to the poor. Good news. The gospel is good news. So what's good news to the poor? The problem is you keep looking to your paycheck as your source, and it's not your source. God's your source. Get your eyes off your paycheck. Get your eyes off the company. And put it on God. Put it on his abundance. Get it on heaven. Raise up the standard a little bit. I never thought I'd get so excited just about what you see and hear. Did you know that Jesus practiced this? "I do what I see my Father do." Jesus had interaction with his Father. And when people would come to him for healing, he would look to the Father. He would see. He would listen to what he would do. He would watch what he would do. He would listen to what he would say. And he would do what he saw. He'd do what he heard. And he had tremendous results. If we would only do what we see the Father do. Jesus demonstrated this. Look with me at John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Just want you to look there. Man, I'll tell you what, I need more minutes in an hour. My goodness. I tell you what, I had intense preaching and good rest and more intense preaching, and it does something to you. All we did from Thursday to today was get in the Word. All we were worshiping, we were speaking the Word, we were listening to the Word. I'll tell you what, it does affect you. The less you listen to the Word, the less you look at the Word, the colder you'll become. John chapter 5, verse 19. Well, go back to verse 16. "For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. So he did some things. They heard some things. But Jesus answered, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Why? Because he does what he sees his Father do. Therefore, verse 18, the Jews sought to all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God because he is God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Because they are in such close agreement, they are in such close unity, that whatever you see, Jesus said, if you see the Father, you've seen me. Or if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He who receives me receives him who sent me. Because he is God in the flesh, he is God incarnate. And when Jesus was the most perfect and accurate example of God on the earth. Verse 20, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does." Woo! Pastor, where'd you get that message? I get it from God. Do you realize that every time I bring forth the word, I ask the Lord, I said, "Father, what do you want to say to the people tonight?" That's my heart. It's been my prayer for umpteen years. "And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." You want to marvel? Let's expect some greater works to be done. We got to expect some greater things. You know, God expects you to grow in the kingdom. You shouldn't have little faith after 20 years of being under the word. If you do, you're a malnourished Christian. You ought to be doing something with what you hear. The word of God is not for us. When we hear the word, we got to do two things. We got to apply it to ourselves, and we got to see how it'll help others. And then we need to take the word that's in us and share it with others. That's what God wants us to do. But too many times, we're only an inlet and not an outlet. And you know what happens when you're an inlet and not an outlet? You become dead and you start to stink. The Dead Sea. There's no life in that sea. Why? Because it doesn't have an outlet. It takes in, 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 it takes in. Woo, it takes in. But it has no outlet. So therefore, nothing is alive in the Dead Sea. Don't be a Dead Sea. Change your perspective. Look at something different. Look at the Lord. Look at miracles. If you need healing, look at healing. If you need provision, look at provision. I mean, surely you could find some scriptures about provision. If you need victory, look at scriptures about victory. Thanks be unto God, he always causes me to triumph. 2 Corinthians 2:14. I've got the victory inside of me. Go to Acts 2, and then I'm going to start to close. Acts chapter 2. This came about because this week I've been reading Acts again. And the Lord was showing me some things about this. And go to Acts chapter 2 and look at verse 33. This is on the right towards the end of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And he said, "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." So what did they see? They saw people who were acting like drunks. I just want to tell you. You know, they were acting like they were drunk. But Peter said, they're not drunk like you think they are. He didn't say they weren't drunk. He just said, they're not drunk as you suppose. He said, but they are filled with the Holy Ghost. So the people saw them acting like drunk people, and they heard them speaking in other languages. And they looked at these people who were Galileans, and they said, you know, you're from Galilee, and you're speaking Aramaic, you're speaking Italian, you're speaking Chinese. It can't be. And what they heard brought the crowd together. Sometimes you need to get the crowd's attention. And Peter said, these things that you see and hear. Now let's look at the negative side for a minute. Acts chapter 5. Peter called Ananias on the carpet. He said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Who was Ananias listening to? Satan. He was yielding to temptation. Satan whispered in his ear, Ananias, keep some of the money to yourself, but tell them it's all of it. Okay, good. All right. Sapphira, are you with me? Yeah, I'm with you. But he was listening to Satan. He was looking to the greed, to his covetousness, to fleshly desires. And he was listening to Satan. And so he carried out Satan's plan to lie to the Holy Ghost, as if that's possible. And you can't lie to the Holy Ghost. They stood up there before Peter. Is this all the money? Oh, yes, Peter, it is. This is all the money. What happened? He dropped dead. Because he was looking and listening to the wrong thing. Did what he see and what he heard affect what he believed? Absolutely. When you're looking and listening to the wrong thing, you're going to be led down a path of destruction. You know, that's all the enemy needs to destroy you. It's for you to listen to one word that he says, to give him place. When you listen to what the enemy says, you are actually giving him place in your life. And he's more than happy to take over your home. That's the opposite side of listening and hearing what you shouldn't be. Okay, go to Acts 8 and then I'm going to close. I have more to say, but you know. Well, go to Acts 7:34 and then we're going to go to Acts 8. Look at verse 7:34. Stephen is preaching. And notice what God's reaction was to when his people were held in Egypt. This is Stephen talking what God's perspective is. Because Stephen was accused of denying Moses, so what he preached, he was talking about Moses. Because God was speaking through him so that to let him know that his accusers were false. They were exposed. Verse 34, he's talking about God. He said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people. God saw the oppression. And I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. So even God was affected by what he saw and what he heard. God saw the oppression, he heard their groanings, and he came down to deliver them. Now go to Acts chapter 8. And go down to verse 6. You know, we're going to enter a day where we're going to see and hear things that are going to be awesome and incredible. God is moving in this earth. He's moving in Palmyra. It's already happening. We saw someone get born again who was 20 years old after praying for 50 days, and we're going to see more and more and more of that. I'm telling you. I see a couple ones in front of that 120 and a couple zeros on the end. There's no limit to what God can do. I'm telling you. Philip, when he went down to Samaria, verse 6 says, and the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. So they saw Philip and they heard him preach. The things spoken by Philip hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So what they heard and what they saw affected what they believed. What did they see? Lame people walking. They saw devils. What does it say? Verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice. You know, when we come to church and we see the devil cast out and he's going, ah! You're going to hear some things. You're going to see some things. I remember one time we were at church in Abundant Life Tabernacle. And this lady came up for prayer. And all of a sudden when the pastor started praying for her, her eyes got red. And she was going, no, no, no. I mean, she was screaming. You know, we're going to see and hear some things like that in this great end time harvest. So you got to be prepared. We got to get you ready so that it's not going to freak you out. You can expect some things to happen. They saw and heard the things that Philip did. Unclean spirits. What's an unclean spirit do? It makes you unclean. Think about that for a minute. Homosexuality is an unclean spirit. Crying out with a loud voice, came out. They didn't want to come out, but they had to. And many who were possessed and many who were paralyzed and the lame were healed. So they heard the devils cry out and they saw the lame walk and the paralyzed move. And what happened? There was great joy in the city. See, revival brings great joy. And that's one of the things we're going to hear and see. That is, if you allow yourself to yield to the joy. God will make you laugh, but you got to yield to him. But the things that you see and hear will affect what you believe. You read on further in that story, and when they sent Peter and John to get the Samaritans filled with the Holy Ghost, Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, people were filled with the Holy Ghost. What did he see? He saw them speaking in tongues. He saw a transformation. He saw them have power. And he wanted to buy that. He said, I'll pay you money if you give me the ability to lay hands and have people receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, your money perish with you. You're in the gall of bitterness. Because you can't buy the gift of God. But you know what? We're going to see and we're going to hear. And what we see and what we hear will affect what we believe. And if you want to change your situation, you got to change what you see and change what you hear. Because if you don't want to change, God's not going to force you to change. But you're going to miss out on so many good things. You want to keep that junk in your life? Go ahead. Keep it. God's not going to take it from you. If you want to hold on to it, this is my junk, and I'm not letting it go. Fine. But for those that want to come up higher, those that want to go deeper, those that want to go farther, the pool's nice. Come on in. And just change your perspective. Get your eyes off your past. You were never designed to drive according to the rearview mirror only. You know, the rearview mirror is just a narrow perspective. But what's ahead of you is far greater. So get out of the past. Maybe we need to have that past spirit get cast out of you. Come out of you, you past spirit. I don't even know if there's such a thing. I'm just making fun. Yeah, but you know, if you keep driving like this, you're gonna crash into something. Or you're gonna trip, or you're gonna run over something. You're gonna hurt yourself if you're looking at the wrong thing. If you're hearing the wrong thing. The devil uses words to deceive you. God uses words to get faith to you. But the only deciding factor is who you're listening to. Come on. Yes.
His instruction was to go to Canaan to settle in Haran. And Terah never got enough.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, Abraham in Genesis 17:19, God told Abraham what his prosperity would do.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Which was also
yes.